If you want to go ahead and turn your Bible to Mark 16:15, we're going to start there. 16:15. Yes. Hey, Mr. Steve in the sound booth. You think you could turn me down just a tad? The main volume's all the way to the right. Okay, yeah. Thank you. So that I'm not blowing your ears out. That's good. Appreciate it. Yeah, 15, 16. I'm sorry, 15 and 16. And that's chapter 16. So, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. I'm sorry for the confusion. Mark. Thank you. I'm not a pro yet. Give me a break. Okay. Mark 16, 15, and 16. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And these signs, we're going to go ahead and go on a little bit longer. "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Anybody know what this is called in the Bible? What? Exactly. It's the Great Commission. This is our job right here. This is what Jesus wanted us to train up to do. That's the whole point of this. We get saved, we're supposed to start maturing in our Christianity and go from milk to meat, and then we go out. It's not just always about coming to church and listening to a pastor is great, and listening to what God has to say from somebody who's trying to, you know, say what God's put on their heart is great, but it's also our job to do the same thing. We're supposed to use this as a time to fellowship with each other and strengthen each other, to build each other up, so that way we have the courage and the know-how to talk to other people and bring them into church and do the same thing. So let's go ahead and go to Romans 1, and that's 16 through 17. And if you know me, I like to use a lot of verses, so lots of biblical books here. I'm trying to cut them down this time a little bit. Okay. Romans 1, 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation. To anyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we should not be ashamed of the gospel. It should be, that's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. So, all right, the importance of sharing the gospel of Christ with those who are lost cannot be overemphasized. Jesus wants everyone to hear the good news of salvation. And has provided the gospel as God's power to save all who believe in it. So the gospel, like I said, is God's power. All that believe on what God said will be saved. You know, if you believe on Jesus, that he died for your sins. But what is the most effective way today to reach people? The Institute for American Church Growth asked over 10,000 people this question. What was responsible for you to coming to Christ and this church? So they took a survey, and here was the percentages. 3% said, "I had a special need, that's why I came to church." 3% said, "I just walked in." 6% say, "I like the minister or the pastor." 1% said, "I visited there just because." 5% said, "I like the Bible classes." 0.5% said, "I attended a gospel meeting." 3% said, I like the programs they have, like the outreaches, stuff like that. 79% of people who ended up in church said the reason why was because a friend or a relative invited them. So sometimes it's just best to ask. They're probably going to turn you down, but who knows? It's always best to ask. In John 20, 21 through 22, I guess I'll wait for you to get there. John 20, and that's verse 21 through 22. Okay, and it says, So Jesus said unto them, Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. So he breathed on them. He gave them an empowerment of authority right there. It wasn't quite when the Holy Spirit baptized them with fire on the day of Pentecost. So. But this was an important part. Just like God breathed into Adam in the beginning, Jesus breathed on them to empower them, to give them life. So, on the evening of his resurrection day, Jesus appeared to his disciples and gave them two vitally important parts of his great commission. Number one, their new birth by the Spirit. And two, his sending of them into the world to share his gospel. Remember that Jesus himself was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that's Matthew 1:18. Years later, he told his disciples that they too would have an experience of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit dwells with you and will be with you. That's John 14:17. I'm going to kind of go a little over some of these so we don't have to flip back and forth. You can write it down and check me later if you want. Before Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit was with his disciples. But immediately after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus imparted the Spirit literally into his faithful followers. Bible scholars are in substantial agreement that this is the moment when those disciples were born again. I can't talk. Those disciples were born again by the Holy Spirit. When you ask God to forgive you, when you ask for forgiveness of your sins, when you accept Jesus into your life, it's the Holy Spirit is part of that promise. That's your proof of your citizenship. So, they received the experience Jesus had spoken of in John 3:3. And 6-7, that you must be born again. And like I said earlier, if you recall Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. This was the creation of Adam, the first man. God fashioned a body, then breathed life into him. And Adam came alive, in a spiritual sense. This is exactly what Jesus did. In John 20:22, he breathed on them. The Holy Spirit entered into them, and they were born again. The key point is this. Jesus chooses born-again believers to take his commission to share the gospel in this world to save souls. And it's important to note that imparting to his disciples the new birth by the Spirit was the very first thing that Jesus did after his resurrection to prepare them for the Great Commission work. So, That was like the first thing he did. He was imparting power and authority after his resurrection. I don't know if you guys know, but my title is going to be the pastor of evangelism. So, this is something that's on my heart. I feel like there's a great tragedy in the world today because there's a lot of people going to hell. So, it's our job to not let them go to hell. So, I know it makes people uncomfortable to talk about God because you're afraid of getting rejected or getting called a Jesus freak or getting called crazy. But that's how that's our work. That's what God called us to do. So it's time to look for the boldness of the Holy Spirit to keep pushing on and do what we're supposed to do, because it is great to go to church, but if we don't share it with anybody, what's the point? So. And the second thing, right along with the new birth, was Jesus sending them to do his work. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. And this is what Jesus said. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. We're supposed to be just like Jesus and do everything that he did. That's what God called us to do. That's our purpose of life. Everybody has their own ministry, and I understand that. So, some people have different ministries, but it's all a way of getting people into the kingdom. Whether, like Lloyd says, it's helps, or if you have a ministry where you feed the homeless, or there's always that opportunity. Let me find my spot. So we do have kingdom work to do. There's a world that needs the message of Jesus Christ, and he is sending us into the world with the message of his grace and salvation from our sins. So John's gospel contribution to the Great Commission is twofold. One, Jesus uses born-again believers to do his calling. And two, he sends us forth into the lost world with a message of salvation in Jesus Christ. After, in Acts 1, we'll go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and through 8. To whom he presented himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking concerning the kingdom of God. Being assembled with them, he commanded them, Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So when the Lord had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness into Jerusalem, in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Like we were speaking about at men's breakfast yesterday, I know he gave this commission to his disciples, but it wasn't logical for them to reach the end of the earth. They didn't know about places yet, so Jesus had a plan for this to continue into our generation. So the work's not done. There's a big harvest and very few people that are willing to do the work to get those people that are needing God. So there's people out there still that need to hear God's message. So a lot of people think that most people have heard it all and they don't want to hear no more. So, but it's not the truth. So after his suffering on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father as promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. In his book of Acts, Luke records several more vitally important aspects of the Great Commission. Number one, the need for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Number two, heaven sent power for ministry. Number three, are called to be witnesses of Jesus. And number four, the global nature of his commission to the ends of the earth. So it's not just quite as easy as going out. I mean, it is going out and telling people, but there's certain things. We talked a lot about this at men's breakfast yesterday, and I got a lot of great insight from the men of the church. So, as we discussed, we all decided that it was very, very important to take care of somebody's physical needs, and then you take care of their spiritual needs. Jesus did the same thing. As he walked the earth, he didn't go in and say, you're a sinner and you need to change first. He took care of their physical needs. He healed the sick. He fed the poor. He was always doing something to get their attention. He showed them his authority and his power, and that's our job today too. So we need to do some serious praying, I think, for the Holy Spirit, because, I mean, that wasn't just for them. That's for us too. There's still power. God gives power to people to take care of people that need him. So we are his instrument. The scene is just before Jesus ascended back into heaven. Immediately after his resurrection, Jesus had given them the new birth by the Holy Spirit. Now, some 7 weeks later, Jesus has another impartation of the Holy Spirit for them. The baptism with the Holy Spirit. This is not their new birth. They were already born again 7 weeks earlier, or seven-ish weeks earlier. Right after Passover, this was a separate powerful anointing by the same Spirit that they needed before going forth to minister effectively. So Jesus told them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift. Wait for the gift from my Father that my Father promised. I'm sorry. In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not born of the Spirit, but baptized with the Spirit. There are two distinct ministries of the Holy Spirit. One is giving us the new birth, then two, giving us the baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit. It is a startling fact when we see that even their intensive personal training by Jesus himself for more than 3 years was not sufficient in Jesus' eyes to send them forth for the Great Commission work. So they followed Jesus around and they slept with Jesus. They talked to Jesus. They were always by Jesus' side for 3 years. And Jesus still said didn't think it was sufficient for them to go and preach the gospel to people. He still wanted them to wait for the power that he died on the cross for us to receive. We all have that power in us. We have that Spirit in us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in us. So we just got to learn how to work with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be able to use him like a tool, because that's never going to happen. Just like the sorcerer trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, it ain't going to happen. You got to learn to work with him. You got to put yourself aside and grow smaller so Jesus can grow bigger in your life. So, he knew that they needed the full anointing, the mighty baptism with the Spirit to empower them for the work. In fact, Jesus himself had followed the same pattern in Acts 10:38. Yeah, I guess we can go ahead and go to that one. We're in Acts right now, so Acts 10:38. Okay. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So even Jesus needed the Holy Spirit when he was here. We're to follow the same rules he followed. He was a lot better at it than we are, though. So, at Christ's age 30, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. First came the Holy Spirit anointing, and then his entry into the public powerful ministry. So first we need to find that anointing before we can start our public ministry, and that's common sense. So, like I was talking with them, anytime you go spreading the word of God, you're going to face opposition, and you need that power and have the Holy Spirit with you, because there's going to be demons fighting you all the way, telling you no, 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 they're mine. So Moving on. The need for the fullness of the Spirit is still valid today. Its purpose is so that we receive power to be Christ's witnesses. And as T.L. Osborne wrote, this is the purpose of the Pentecost. Before his baptism with the Spirit, the Apostle Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And after his Spirit baptism, the same Peter in Acts 2 boldly preached a powerful anointed sermon on the day of Pentecost that immediately resulted. The immediate result was 3,000 newly saved and baptized believers. What was the difference? Peter was now ministering in the power imparted to him by the baptism with the Spirit. And we need that too. So, it doesn't matter what you did in the past. Once you get the Holy Spirit and you start walking with Him, and there's a process. You gotta make a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is part of the Trinity. A very important part. The Holy Spirit is gentle and easily pushed away. So we have to make a point. Like, I haven't been so good at it, but I usually try to get up, and that's the first thing I do is I pray, and I ask the Holy Spirit just to guide me, to be with me, to teach me through the day. So, you'll go weird ways to work or wherever, and you'll run into people that need help, and that's the Holy Spirit, because when you help somebody, you have that opportunity, and you don't have to push it on them and be like, hey, you got to go to church, you're going to hell. You just got to be nice and love them and say, hey, I go to church here, Faith Fellowship, right by Domino's. Anytime you want to come in, we treat everybody like family. You're more than welcome. So it's good just to ask them. Maybe they'll show up. Maybe the Holy Spirit will keep pricking their heart and they'll walk in one day. I do love our small church, but we need more souls for their benefit. They're all our family, whether we look at it that way or not, whether they're fallen in sin or not. And the commission of Jesus, verse 8, is to take his gospel to the ends of the earth. It was obvious that the Lord had commissioned his born-again, spirit-filled believers in all centuries and every nation to reach the ends of the earth, which the early church was not logically able to do. We today have the privilege of obeying Christ's global commission wherever we are and wherever he sends us. So Acts 1 adds some more things to our Great Commission. So we have one, the born-again believers. Jesus has insisted also need the baptism with the Spirit to fulfill the call. Number 2, we need the ministry power, healing, miracles, signs, wonders, exorcisms, etc. That is received in that Holy Ghost anointing. Number 3, we go forth to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And 4, it is a global commission to the ends of the earth. So they say that Jesus isn't going to come back until everybody gets a chance to hear the gospel. So we want him to come back. It'd be fast if we spread the word and everybody hears it, because there's still villages out there that haven't heard about Jesus. I know there's TVs and stuff, but a lot of people don't have TVs. I'm not sure if there's people in America that still need to hear about Jesus. I know they do, but I'm sure they've heard it. But they need it explained a different way, maybe. They need a Christian that isn't judgmental and isn't hypocritical and isn't the holier-than-thou type. Beginning at Jerusalem, you're a witness of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The time is after Jesus' resurrection and probably not long before he ascended back into heaven. Luke makes a number of Great Commission emphasis. 1, repentance. 2, forgiveness of sins. 3, Jesus' name. 4, a global commission to all nations. 5, we are to be his witness to all the world of these things. And 6, as Luke said in Acts 1, it would require the Holy Spirit power from on high. The need for forgiveness of sins is universal, Paul wrote. all have sinned. And that's Romans 3:23. Along with faith in Jesus Christ, the sinner must repent to God. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And to be careful to see this as a positive message that there is forgiveness to those who repent and turn to Jesus. So a lot of people take forgiveness of their sins as a bad thing, like they messed up and how is Jesus ever going to forgive them? I've been in that boat. So it's a tough road. It's a tough boat to climb out of, I guess. A lot of times that's the devil's greatest weapon is guilt and condemnation. So you mess up and he's going to beat you to death with your thoughts about, God's never going to forgive me and I did it again. I messed up. And that's how he works with the rest of the world that's never had Jesus. They think they got to be perfect. They think they got to do the right things. They got to be too religious. And that's why they don't even come to church. They don't understand that we're just like them. The only difference is that we have God's grace. So. This repentance unto forgiveness is to be preached in his name. The name of Jesus Christ is the name above all names. Philippians 2:9. We'll go ahead and go there if you'd like. I wish I had one of those head wireless mic things. It's hard for me to do everything. To set in here. This one of the hard ones to find. What is it after? Yeah, it's such a small one. Yeah, I'm like right here and I keep missing it. Oh, there it is. Okay, I got it. It's just so tiny, it gets smashed. Okay. Philippians 2, and that's 9, so. Therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Amen. There is salvation in that name, physical healing in that name, deliverance from bondage in the name of Jesus, and much, much more. At the heart of the Great Commission is preaching Jesus Christ. The early church understood this, and so must we. For example, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The Apostle Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified," and that's 1 Corinthians 1:23. The gospel we preach is the gospel of Jesus. Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead for the sins of all mankind. So that's for everybody. As Luke also said in Acts 1, the Great Commission is global to all nations. And to accomplish it, Jesus' followers need the power from on high that comes in the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So in sum, Luke's gospel shows us a number of Great Commission insights. It is the gospel of grace and forgiveness of sins to all who will repent. We are called to preach and magnify the name of our Savior Jesus Christ to all nations. We are witnesses. Everything we do, if people think you're a Christian, they're going to watch you. You're a witness, even if you're not talking to them about God. And our witness is to be made effective by the power from on high that comes from being filled with, not just born of, the Holy Spirit. In Mark 16:15-20, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So God gave him a promise, and like God, he always follows through. So Mark's Great Commission record has a gospel with power emphasis. As already seen in John 20, Mark also included the Lord sending. Okay. Go preach the gospel. And Mark's account has a global emphasis into all the world. So there's a pattern. It's in almost every book. I know that they're all different and they have different insights, but they didn't leave that one out. So Mark's account is its emphasis on supernatural power, confirming the preached gospel. Jesus promised the supernatural signs would accompany believers as they preached his gospel, things such as driving out demons, healing the sick, and speaking in tongues. And just as Jesus has promised, verse 20 shows that as the disciples went forth and preached, the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. I'm sorry. Our gospel ministry is to be a world and power ministry. So the word's great and we should always be in the word, but there's an emphasis on power in the word. We were granted power. Jesus died, took a beating, got spit on, got punched in the face, had to drag a cross, all for us to have that power. So me, myself, everybody, a lot of people are letting that just set to the side. So I think we should really take the time to seek God and to seek the Holy Spirit. If just three people in Tahlequah had that power, one person in Tahlequah had that power, it'd change all of Tahlequah. And if they had the boldness to chase after that. Mark also emphasizes water baptism, which we'll look at in Matthew's account. So Mark's contribution to the Great Commission record can be summarized as 1, preach the gospel in all the world, 2, baptize new believers, and 3, expect the Lord to confirm his gospel with supernatural signs. If you step up, God's not going to let you down. Matthew 28:18-20. I'll just read over it really quick. Then Jesus came to him and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So if you see the pattern there, God the Father gave Jesus authority, and then Jesus, being our king, our brother, our best friend, he gave it to us too. Like, everything the Father's given to him, he gives to us. So we have that power in us, whether we know it or not. Just like whenever Lloyd was talking about whenever he prayed to quit smoking, and he got the answer that you're already delivered. Just because we don't see that power working in us don't mean that it's there already. We just got to learn how to work with the Holy Spirit. So, finally, we look at Matthew's record. When people refer to the Great Commission, usually more than any other book of the Bible, they are usually referring to this chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew adds some new and very important emphasis on the Great Commission. First, he records Jesus revealing to his disciples that he, Jesus, has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Then he says, "Therefore go." So he's sending us to the harvest field, is with the limitless authority of Christ's power, and him standing behind our calling. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Again, a global call to all nations, but we see a new emphasis here. Luke and Mark had emphasized preaching the gospel, but Matthew's emphasis is on making disciples in all nations. That involves teaching them to obey the teachings of the Lord. So, yeah, we should make disciples and teach everybody else to do the same thing we're doing. We're almost finished, so. Combining these emphases, we can appreciate the time-honored short definition of the Great Commission as win the lost and train the saved. It's that easy. I know I said a lot to get to such a small point. Matthew, like Mark, also adds an important water baptismal emphasis, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus closes Matthew's record of the commission with these encouraging words, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So he was speaking to us, or he wouldn't have put that in there. We don't have to go this alone. As we take his gospel to a lost world, Jesus will be with us always. How long? To the very end of the age. That includes us today. All these aspects of the Great Commission that we have looked at are for us today, at this latter time in the church age. Be encouraged, as my good, Be encouraged, as we are the great commissioners in the Lord's harvest field. Let's go forth and win the lost and train the saved for Jesus Christ. Also, let's combine the four gospel and Acts to see, in closing, a composite picture of Christ's plan to reach the world with his saving grace. Jesus is calling and sending into the world born-again, spirit-filled believers. Our message is Jesus Christ crucified and risen. And that faith in him and repentance brings us forgiveness of sins and new birth into the family of God. Through the baptism with the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives us power not just to preach in his name and to teach the word, but to see it confirmed powerfully through supernatural signs, healings, miracles, and more. We do this deputized by him who has all authority in heaven and earth. And as we lead others to salvation in Jesus Christ, we exhort them to be baptized, to be taught in the word of God, and to become obedient, maturing disciples of the Lord. And Jesus Christ is with us to the very end as we go forth to win the lost and train the saved. Now, the hardest thing about this whole message, and it's something that I've dealt with for a lot of my life, and that's being afraid of what other people think about you, when all that matters in the end is what God thinks about you. It says not to be ashamed. It's hard to walk up to somebody you don't know or never met. It's even hard to talk to your family members sometimes about God. It's hard to kill that pride and put that aside. But with plenty of prayer and reading the Bible, I think our boldness will grow. I hope to be getting together some programs. I hope you guys will be interested in some of the things as an outreach. Like Karen said, that's how you got saved that way, through an outreach program. A lot of people are just waiting on the side, waiting for somebody to come and just invite them to church. So, I will be waiting until I get back from my classes, and I really appreciate everybody that helped to provide that for me. It was a great blessing. I prayed to God that if he wanted me to go, he'd provide the way, because right now I don't have a way to provide it for myself, and he answered. So, I feel like it's something that he wants me to do, or I think I'd still be not having a date to go or have it set up already. I will be doing stuff when I get back. I will be also teaching what I learned there. But the whole point is they're not just an evangelism school. I mean, they do teach you how to do evangelism, but they're all also about teaching you to walk in the power of God and for healing and filling of the Holy Ghost and all that stuff. And when I get back, I will be teaching you guys, so I hope you're looking forward to that. I'm really excited about it. So after August, they fill up really fast. It was going to be June, and then the classes went pretty fast. Anola, you want to come on up? But yeah, I really, really, really appreciate you guys. So thank you so much for all those that gave, and I'm glad you did, so thank you. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. And if anybody needs anything, we are family, so don't be afraid to talk to anybody in this church if you have any problem or anything you need to get off your chest. I mean, it's what God put us together for. We're here to love each other and to be support in a world that's not so supportive. So if you need anything, don't be afraid to come to anybody in the church. They'd be more than happy to help you. We're all brothers and sisters, so, and I believe we're all pretty much elders of the church because we're such a small church, so, and we love the word so much. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time, Lord God. Thank you for your message, Father God. Thank you for the desire you put on my heart, Lord God, to reach the lost. Lord God, just show us the way, Lord God. Show us the things that we're supposed to do, Lord God. Show us the things that you have a desire for us to do, Lord. Don't let us just be people who sit and soak in your word and not ever push any of it back out, Father God, to other people. Give us the boldness, Father God. Pour your spirit upon us, Lord God. Give us the fire of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Just baptize us all, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Father God. Amen.